So if you're new here or, you know, just haven't heard what's going on this week, you might have kind of just felt a little heaviness through our service. And I'm going to share a little bit with you this morning, a little bit just about the body. If you were here last Sunday, we had what was called our Day of Thanks service. And that was, that's a day that we do each year, and people come up and spontaneously get up and just tell what they're thankful for. And they give testimony about what God's doing in their lives. And we heard from, you know, a number of different people. And a lot of what came through last Sunday was people sharing about how just the spiritual family here at Emmaus had helped them walk through different things, and how important the body of Christ is, how much we need one another. And, you know, we always talk about it here that, you know, church isn't about coming and sitting in a service and just experiencing a service together. It's about being a body. It's about being family. It's about encouraging one another in our faith. It's about walking together through the good times, the difficult times, and it's about sharing the love of Jesus with people outside of these four walls. And, you know, as that was being shared, it just emphasized the importance of the body. Well, that really came to light this week. One of the people who shared on last Sunday was Stephanie Allen. And if you were here, you might remember she's a shorter, blonde girl, shared about her recently coming back into a relationship with Christ and how much the body had encouraged her. And then her dad, Fritz Berkey, also shared just some how thankful he was for what God was doing in their family. Well, on Tuesday, I got a phone call from Fritz. It's very emotional, and said that they had found their baby grandson, Jason, unresponsive at the daycare. And so he was on his way to the hospital. I rushed down to the hospital. Stephanie and her husband, Cole, were there. And, you know, by the time they got Jason to the hospital, they worked on him for about a half hour. But he was already gone. So he'd gone to be with the Lord. And so as you can imagine, just a difficult, difficult time. So many questions, really not many answers. If you're wondering, they still don't know exactly what happened, still waiting on that. And just, you know, the emotions of it all, from Sunday to hear all that God's doing in someone's life, and then on Tuesday to experience something that devastating, and it's just a reminder how much we really, really need one another. So I know a lot of you have been praying for them. I encourage you to continue to pray for them. And so that was Tuesday, and then it was like just a tsunami of stuff this week, as if that wasn't enough. Got a message on Wednesday. Beverly Taze, one of the patriarchs here at Emmaus, had gone into the hospital, and Beverly, she was real weak. They didn't know what was going on, and turns out she had a pneumonia. But that night, she went into cardiac arrest. They had intubated her, and thankfully, she's off the breathing tube. I saw her yesterday. She's doing better, but she's still real weak. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, be praying for her. And then Dick Delap, Dick and Fran, another older couple here in the congregation, he had pneumonia a couple weeks ago, was in the hospital for a while. Yesterday, he had gotten up. He was real weak. He fell, hit his head, got stitches in his head. But he's doing fine. I saw him yesterday. He's still weak, though, so he could use our prayers. He's just starting to eat solid food. And then last night, I'm on my way to the Berkeys to talk about the service. We're going to be having a celebration of life service here tomorrow at 6:30. So I was on my way there, and then I got a text from Brock Johnson. John Lasting, or John and Amy, are a couple here at Emmaus. They're actually preparing to go on the mission field, kind of second career missionaries. They're in their late 40s, and they're preparing to go on the mission field in the next year. John got rushed to the emergency room. They thought he had a heart attack, weren't sure. Brock and Carrie went down there. Pete went down there. They were checking him out, doing some tests. First, they thought he didn't have a heart attack. Then they confirmed that he did. They went into surgery, which they thought was going to be 2 hours. And surgery only ended up taking 10 minutes. The reason it only ended up taking 10 minutes because once they got in there, saw exactly what it was. He had 100% blockage of the, I think it's the LAD artery, like the main artery. It's a heart attack they call the widowmaker. So if you don't get into the hospital really pretty quick, it's pretty much 100% fatal. Praise God, they got in there, did the surgery. He's recovering well. He's doing okay. He's still in the hospital. So that's John and Amy Lastinger. That's all in 1 week. That's a lot. And, you know, the situation with Cole and Stephanie is devastating enough and almost overwhelming. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what people do in situations like this without Jesus. You know, I just don't know. And, you know, this is why the Lord gave us the church. It's not a place that we come and just sing or you come and have this experience. It's a group of people who are family because they've been adopted into the family of God, and they walk through life together, and they walk through tragedy and triumph, and they're there to encourage one another. They're there to lift one another up. They're there to cry with one another. And I've just seen the body kind of rally around all of these people in different ways. And so I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful for everyone here. And so as I was thinking about this morning, I was just like, you know, I just can't come in and sing songs and then take an offering and then preach a message and we all go home. That you wouldn't do something like that in your family. If someone's struggling through stuff like this, I mean, family would take time to be family together. And so so we're going to do that. So if you're visiting, this might be a little bit odd for you, but you know, you've kind of just heard what's going on. And so we're going to take some time and we're going to pray together. We're going to really take some time, break up into some groups. I know the junior high kids are in here, but just with your family and a few others, you know, maybe 8 to 10 people, I'm going to ask you to do the uncomfortable thing, get up, move around. We're going to get in circles of people, introduce yourselves to one another. We're going to pray for these situations. We'll actually put the names of those people on the screen, but we also want to pray for each other, like what's going on in your life. I mean, some of these are pretty heavy situations, and maybe some of you are bringing some of that in here. Or maybe it's not quite, you know, to this level of immediate need, but it's still a need you have. And so I want you to share that. And so we're going to take a significant amount of time. Now, don't worry. Nobody's going to make you pray out loud. Nobody's going to point you out. Okay, it's just a chance to come together. Someone in that group or a few people in that group at the end will take time to pray. So we'll let people lead that. But if you would, please get up. Let's move around. Find some other family. Get in groups of 8, 10, 12 people and come together. And it's going to be a little while. So let's do this. All right, everybody, thank you for taking that time and for gathering together and for lifting up the body of believers here. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to share for just a couple of minutes, share a little bit from the scripture. But let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this body of believers. I thank you for people who love you and love one another. Thank you that we can come together and lift each other up. And Lord, to know that you're moving on behalf of our prayers, to know that you're with us, to know that you're with those who are struggling. God, I pray that you would keep them on our minds and on our hearts as we go throughout this week. God, that we would just be there however we can, that we would love one another, encourage one another, be strength for one another. God, just pray your blessing on the rest of the time that we have together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes. I had like a whole message planned, but that's kind of going out the window right now. But what I do want to do is I want to tell you where we're going to go the next few weeks. We're going to take a break going through the book of John, and we are going to do a 4-week series, really 3 1/4 week if you count this week, because I'm not really going to spend a lot of time on what I was going to talk about. But we are going to do a series surrounding Advent and the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about that. So Some of you are familiar with the tradition of Advent. Others are probably going like, Vic, isn't that like a Catholic thing or a Lutheran thing or something like that? The reality is some of us are already engaged in this idea, and you just maybe don't even realize it. You ever see one of those calendars that has the little windows on it, and it's kind of, you open them up, and it leads up to Christmas, or maybe it's got a little, some of them have a little pocket, and you take something out, and you put it on the tree, and it counts down the days to Christmas. And so Advent is really a tradition that lasts the 4 Sundays and the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. It is looking forward to the promise of the coming Messiah. And so even though, yes, it's kind of a tradition, it's a tradition that's been carried on for centuries by some Christians. And so some of you who are just kind of totally averse to tradition, you're like, Vic, I don't know about tradition, Advent, I don't see it in the Bible. You know, I don't know if I want to take part in that. That's fine. Just understand, you take part in a lot of tradition already, right? All right, so if you got a Christmas tree, you give gifts. Like, you know, we give gifts to one another, right, on Christmas, or at least most of us do, which is the weirdest thing if you think about it. Who gives gifts to each other on someone else's birthday, right? So what I'm trying to do is help us, in the midst of this tradition, inject a tradition that's going to help us point toward the real meaning of Christmas. And so with that, there's some resources on our website that I want to point you to. Bring up that snapshot, the screenshot from our website. If you go down in the lower left corner, there's a little button there. You can download a guide that has some devotional material, has some family discipleship material that you can go through the weeks leading up to Christmas. Some of you have seen the Advent wreath, which has 4 candles in it. And that's a tradition that some people do along with observing the Advent, and you light one of those candles each Sunday. Usually there's a candle in the middle that gets lit on Christmas Eve, and that represents the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And so if you're interested, you can download those resources there. If not, you'll come on a Sunday morning. Nothing will be really different. I will share a message, but it will be based on just that theme of Advent for that week. So this week's theme would be hope, okay? And it is about the prophets who prophesied of the coming Messiah. They were looking forward to the one who was to come. And so I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to share just for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to share a moment of communion together, okay? So when you think about Christmas, the first thing most of us think about is a baby in a manger, right? You think about the nativity scene. You guys probably, we're past Thanksgiving, so some of us already have them up in their house, right? You already have it out in your lawn. And so when we think about Christmas, that's often what we think about. But Christmas didn't start with a baby in a manger. The whole idea of the Christmas story really started with 2 people in a garden. It really goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. They walked with God and had a perfect relationship with him. Everything was just as God desired, and he created it to be. They were created by him and for him, and they were to reflect his glory in the world. He gave them 1 command, right? Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everything else is yours. You know the story. The serpent comes and tempts them. They eat from that tree. And God promised beforehand, if you eat from that tree, you will surely what? Die, right? And so they eat from that tree. Death, disease, destruction enters our world. So everything we're talking about today, the people who are going through these devastating things, all is a result of what took place in the garden. The world is not as God first created it to be. But God, being a gracious, loving, merciful God, puts in place a plan to restore all creation, to bring his creation back into a relationship with him, just like it was in the garden. So everything now is moving back toward this relationship with God, basically back toward Eden. And part of that plan, the focal point of that plan, is the coming of the Messiah, the one who would right that terrible wrong from the garden, the one who would die on the cross for our sins, the one who would allow us to be reconciled to God, to have a relationship with him here on this earth, and to have a relationship that we could look forward to for all eternity in heaven and beyond, right? So that's really the heart of the story of Christmas. And so throughout the Old Testament, you have all these prophecies leading up to that. And I'm just going to read a couple to you, and then we're going to share a moment of communion together. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 9, verse 2, says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." And then drop down to verse 6, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." Levi, you guys can come back up. And then Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6. "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Now, this is prophecy made hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, describing what he would go through for us, the payment that would be made for our sins. So we celebrate today what the Lord has done, what he's done for us so that we can have a relationship with him. We celebrate what the prophets hoped for. This is what they were longing for, the coming of the Messiah. This is what Christmas is all about. It's the heartbeat of what we celebrate. And through Christ, we have hope. That's what we were just talking about as we prayed. You know, these things that we go through in life, some of the darkest times and trials, through Jesus, there's hope. There's hope in this world because he walks with us. He gives us people to walk through it with. And then there's hope beyond this world because there's a world to come where all of that pain, all of that devastation and death is no more. And so I want to encourage you. We're going to sing a song here in just a minute. And communion is available on either side of the stage and in the back. And I want to ask you, just take some time. Go with your family, if you're with a circle of friends, to go up to the table and take that bread and take that cup and remember what Jesus has done, that this was a promise given throughout the scriptures of what he would do. It's really what Christmas is all about. And this whole season of Advent is just preparing our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. It's kind of trying to weed through all the commercialism, all the stuff that Christmas brings, and making sure we see Jesus at the center. So if you would stand with me, I want to pray for us, and we're going to sing a song, and then as you feel led, make your way over to one of those tables and just take that bread, take that cup, take some time to pray and just talk to God and make sure that he's at the center of your life and all that's to come during this Christmas season. Let's pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you didn't leave us, Lord. When your creation rebelled against you, when we turned our backs on you, God, you didn't just say end game. God, you sought after us. You put a plan in place to buy us back, and we just thank you for that. God, I pray that in the midst of all the commercialism and craziness of Christmas, that we wouldn't lose sight of you. God, that you'd be at the center of it. That we would, in our homes, make sure that you're at the center of it. God, in our lives, that you'd be at the center of everything. And so as we take this bread and we take this cup and remember your body broken and your blood shed, so that we could have a relationship with you. God, renew our minds, renew our hearts, remind us of what it's all about. Even as we talk about all the stuff that's gone on this week and the struggles with family and our spiritual family, God, your hope in the middle of the most devastating of times, and that hope comes because of your death, burial, and resurrection. God, we thank you for resurrected life. We thank you for that hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's worship together, and as you feel led, make your way to one of the tables and share a moment of communion.